Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. We'll read verses 6 through 9 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. First Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for this place. Lord, what a haven it is from the world. And yet, we must live here in this world. Thank you for a preacher who preaches your word to us to teach us how to do just that. Father, please fill my preacher with your power tonight. God, we are a needy people, and we're a sinful people. Lord, please help us to listen carefully to the message that you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I have used this scripture from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. This will be the third time in the last 3 weeks, once a week. I got to studying the scripture and looking at it. Tonight I use it again, where the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I've been asked this question many times in the last few years. Again, recently, somebody began to question me about certain things in regard to my behavior. I don't think I am a good example of much of anything, but I strive to be the best example that I can be. Someone said to me, Brother Owens, why don't you get mad at people more than you do? And the truth is, right now, I've searched my heart. I can't think of anybody that I'm mad at. I'm not put out with anyone. But they asked the question. They said, why are you not mad at people more? Well, tonight, in the sermon, I'll explain that to you. Someone said, you often tell us we're to love our enemies. Now, what in the world is it that you do that helps you with that? Because that's hard. And again, I've searched my heart. I know of no one that I would say I am an enemy to them. Now, there might be people that are enemies toward me, but I can't think of anybody that I would say I'm their enemy. I'm out to hurt them. But tonight, I'll maybe explain to you my thinking on that issue. They said, well, why are you not bitter with those that hurt you? And how do you protect yourself from that? And again, I can't think of anybody that I'm bitter with. I can't think of anybody that I have bitter feelings toward. They ask, well, why is it that you talk to us about forgiveness and it seems as if you kind of have a handle on that thing? And I'm not sure I have a handle on any of these. But I will tell you tonight why it is these things at this time in my life are not overpowering me. And I can't think of anybody that is due my forgiveness. If somebody's hurt me and they needed my forgiveness, I've given it. And I give it as quickly as I can. And often people come and say, Preacher, will you forgive me? And I say, I don't even know what you're talking about. And they say, well, you know, now I hurt you. And I say, well, I've never given that a second thought. And you say, why is that? Tonight, I'll do my best to tell you why that is the case. Nobody is on my list, my blacklist. Nobody is on my revenge list. I don't have one. I don't think I'm bitter with anybody. John the Baptist, who is your real enemy, John? Herod? Is it Herod the Tetrarch? Now, at the time of John, this man by the name of Herod was in power. John was an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. And John stood up and he preached against Herod's sin, you see. And what Herod ends up doing is Herod handcuffs John and puts him in prison. What had happened is John had preached against Herod. Herod was sleeping with his brother's wife. And now John preaches against it. He ends up in jail. And what they do is his niece does this lewd dance before Herod. And then he says, hey, I'll give you anything you want. And Herod's mom his niece's mama has said, well, you asked for the head of John the Baptist. Ask that we cut his head off for what he's been saying about us. You know what? They cut John's head off because of his preaching. I asked John this evening, John, who's your real enemy? And I'll promise you that if John could speak from the grave, he would say, my real enemy is Satan.
Right.
Moses, who is your real enemy? Pharaoh has you and the children of Israel in captivity. They've got you locked down. He's forcing you and God's people to make bricks, making bricks out of straw and clay. And when the bricks are not made right, you're beaten and you're abused. You're underfed and undernourished. He won't let you give sacrifices to God. This Pharaoh, he's rough on you, Moses. Hey, to scare you, Moses, Pharaoh uses witchcraft and sorcerers. He threatens to take your children. At one point, he lets you go. And the minute you head down the path to freedom, he sends his entire army after you. And they're out to destroy you. Hey, Moses, who's your real enemy? And if Moses could speak to us from the grave, he would say, Satan is my real enemy. Peter, who's your real enemy? You feel you need to use a sword to cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Peter, seems like they've thrown you in jail time and time again. Who's your real enemy? Is it the government? You get put in jail for serving God. Later in life, they crucify you upside down, Peter. You die and go to heaven. Peter, who's your enemy? And if Peter could speak to us from the grave this evening, we ask him the question, who's your real enemy, Peter? I think Peter would say, Satan is my real enemy. Abel, who's your real enemy? You give a sacrifice as the Lord commands. You sacrifice of your herds or your flocks. And then your brother Cain, he rebels. And he gives an unacceptable sacrifice. And your brother gets angry at you because you did what was right. And one day in the field, your brother Cain rises up against you. Maybe he picks up a stick or a rock and he bashes your head in. You bleed to death alone there all by yourself. And mom's not there and dad's not there. And you die and you bleed to death. Abel, if he could speak from the grave and we could ask Abel the question, Abel, who's your enemy? Abel would say, Satan is my real enemy. Elijah, who is your real enemy? Jezebel hates you. She puts a contract out on your life. The ravens must feed you while you're in hiding as this wicked queen is out to destroy you. King Ahab, he's your enemy. They have the troops looking for you. If they capture you, they'll embarrass you and humiliate you and have you put to death. Hey, Elijah, here you are. No food, no water. You're out there. If God does not run to your aid, you'll die and you're a bit depressed. Everybody seems like they turned against you. Hey, Elijah, and if we could call upon Elijah and ask him this question, Elijah, who's your enemy? He would not say Jezebel. He would not say Ahab. He would say, it is Satan that is my real enemy.
Right.
Joseph, who's your real enemy? Your brothers become jealous over you. They plot to get rid of you. They put you in a pit. They take your coat. They smear animal blood on your coat. And then they sell you to become a slave to the Egyptians. And they take your coat home to dad and say to your dad that an animal mauled you and ate you. And the coat is all that's left. You become a slave and you're put in a dungeon. And oh, Joseph, all that you went through. And if we could call upon Joseph today, he could step to this platform, step behind this pulpit, speak into this microphone. And I could say, Joseph, who's your enemy, Joseph? Tell us the story. And he would say, it was Satan that was my real enemy. May I submit to the congregation of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church that it is Satan that is your real enemy. It is Satan that is your real enemy. And you say to me, Brother Owens, how is it that you don't find yourself angry with people more? It's because I know who the real enemy is. It's Satan. Why? Why do you tell us to love your enemies? And as you practice it, we watch it. And is there something that motivates you a little more, or strengthens you a little more to love your enemies? I'll tell you why. Because I know who my real enemy is. It's Satan. It's not people. Why are you not bitter? It's because I know who my real enemy is. Why do we practice forgiveness like we do? It's because I know who my real enemy is. And I say to you, number one this evening, Satan is your real enemy. The Bible says here in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, your real adversary, folks, is the devil. Satan is the one that is behind your pain. He's your real enemy. Satan is the one that is behind your suffering. He is your real enemy. Satan is the one that is behind your fear. He is your real enemy. Satan is the one behind your abuse. He is your real enemy. Satan is the one behind your loneliness. He is your real enemy. Satan is the one behind your loss. He is your real enemy. Satan is the one behind your failure. He is your real enemy. Satan is the one behind your hurt. He is your real enemy. Satan is the one behind your confusion. He is your real enemy. Satan is the one behind the attack. He is your real enemy. Satan is the evil one, and he is the one that masterminds all the hurt, all the pain, all the confusion. He is our real enemy. Satan is your real enemy. That's the one that causes you the grief. He's the one that caused your heart to be broken. He's the one that hurt you. Satan is your real enemy. So first of all, point number one, Satan is my real enemy. Number two, I have discovered that if a person has become my enemy, Satan is behind it. If a human being has become my enemy, it is Satan that is behind it. Now, folks, I want you to stop and realize something. If you feel like you have an enemy, Satan is using your enemy to do what he wants them to do. And you need to stop and realize Satan is using someone. Now, I'm gonna tell you something about mankind. I'm gonna tell you something about my relationships with mankind. When I look at people, and even if they're my enemy, and maybe they've done something to hurt me, I stop and I rise above the pettiness of human relationships. I step back and I look at this thing for what it's really worth, and I stop and realize it is Satan that's behind this. He's the one that's messing up those relationships. He's the one. He is using that person. Satan uses people. It is Satan that's using them. It is Satan that is hurting them. Did you know that if somebody is my enemy, Satan is hurting them? Satan is using them. Satan is hurting them. He's abusing them. He's taking things. He's twisting it in their minds. He's prompting them to disobedience. And indeed, I know that they chose to disobey. But I'm telling you something, folks. Satan's pretty slick. You say, well, they disobeyed and they've hurt me and become my enemy. Well, I've got news for you. You've disobeyed too.
Right.
And Satan is the tempter, and Satan is the evil one, and Satan the one that's behind the hurt and the confusion. He's the one. Satan is using them, you see. Satan is hurting them. My enemy, Satan's using them. And I stop and realize that. Satan is deceiving them. Some of you, you say, Brother Owens, I have someone and they've hurt me and I don't even understand it. It doesn't even make sense. Right. Knucklehead, wake up and realize they are being deceived.
Right.
They're being deceived. And who's the great deceiver? Satan. Some
sometimes we look at a situation and we say, it does not even make sense why they do that. Why they hurt me. Why have they seemingly become my enemy? I'm telling you, Satan is the deceiver, and he gets into things and he starts twisting things. It is Satan that is my enemy. It is he that causes people, even people sometimes that we love, that do things and we can't figure out why. I'm telling you, folks, Satan is deceptive, and it is Satan that is my adversary. If a person has become your enemy, Satan is behind it. In John chapter 8, verse number 44, the Bible says this, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, what's Jesus speaking about? Talk about lost people. And not to be offensive, if you're not saved, you're of your father, the devil. Now, I have a father. He is the heavenly father. But here it talks about Jesus is speaking of lost people, and he calls the devil their father. And he says here, people that are lost, they will do the lust of their father. Hey, listen, has someone's lust for wrong hurt you and they have become your enemy? Notice, if their lusts have hurt you, God calls it the lust of Satan, their father. The lust of your father you will do. Hey, has a lost person lied to you? And because of that, has a lost person lied about you and seemingly they have become your enemy? You work with somebody and they're lost. And they're unsaved, and they've lied about you, or accused you, or tried to hurt you. Let me tell you something. The Bible says here, lost people do those things that their father prompts them to do. They are a liar, because God, or the devil, he is the great liar. He's the one that creates those things. Notice the devil is the father of lies. I'm trying to tell you, folks, if a person has become your enemy, seemingly, it is because the devil is behind it. He's the one that motivates that. Lost people may become our enemies. Why? The devil's using them. The devil's using their lusts. The devil's using their lies. The devil is abusing them and hurting them. Let me say this. Has somebody been disloyal to you? Who's behind it? Well, listen to this. John 13:2, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Who was it that put it into Judas's heart to betray Jesus? Who was it that put it into Judas's heart to be disloyal to the Savior? I'll tell you who it was. It's the great betrayer. He's the one that sows the seed of disloyalty in the heart. It comes from the devil. That's where disloyalty comes from. Person after person after person feels like they've been hurt by disloyalty. Well, let me tell you, Satan's your real enemy. Satan's the one that prompted that. Satan's the one that sowed the seed of disloyalty. Satan is behind all disloyalty. Satan expressed the ultimate disloyalty. You say, how so? Well, I'll tell you what. You go way back to Isaiah chapter number 14, and you'll find out at one time Satan was in heaven. He was an archangel of God. He was called Lucifer. And Satan one day rises up against God and he says, "I am going to sit on your throne. I am going to be exalted above you, God." Of course, some will say that sin was a sin of pride, but I'll tell you something. Connected to the sin of pride was the ultimate sin of disloyalty. Satan was there in heaven to serve God. He becomes disloyal. And ever since then, it has been Satan that creates disloyalty. It is Satan that creates the disloyalty between a husband and a wife. It is Satan that creates a disloyalty in the workplace where you work. It is Satan that creates a disloyalty between a pastor and a staff member, or a deacon and a pastor. It is Satan that creates those disloyalties. Satan expressed the ultimate disloyalty. And when it was talking about Judas betraying Jesus, it says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Stop and realize who the real enemy is. Satan's a real enemy. And if every Christian in this house tonight could rise above your petty human problems and look and say, Satan's in this thing. Satan's been slithering around. Satan's twisted some things. Satan's made things worse than what they should have been. Satan's the one. Brother Owens, who's your real enemy? I know who my real enemy is. I keep my eye on the enemy. He grabs up a lot of tools along the way and persuades people. But he's hurting them. And he's deceiving them. And he's using and abusing them. Hey, Satan's hurting your enemy. He's hurting them by using them. And you need to stop and realize Satan's my real enemy. Hey, earlier I mentioned, has a lost person lied to you? Of course, the Bible says there in John 8:44, they are of their father the devil, and he's a father of lies. Hey, has a saved person lied about you, lied to you, and seemingly become your enemy? In Acts chapter 5, verse number 3, the Bible says, But Peter said unto Ananias, Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? To keep back part of the price of the land. This is the story of Ananias and Sapphira, a married couple. And they end up lying to the man of God. And the issue is not about what they lied. It's a matter that they lied. But notice what it says. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie? Hey, Ananias and Sapphira. Satan just used you. Satan hurt you. And did they not get hurt? They fall over dead because of it. Satan used them. Satan is behind those lies. Satan is using that person as a tool. Satan is hurting you maybe because you might be the object of the lie. But Satan is hurting the liar also. He's trying to hurt everybody involved. Liars, those of you, don't let Satan hurt you by hurting someone. You know, the victim of the liar needs to remember that Satan is using the liar. He's abusing the liar. You say, but Owens, who's your real enemy? Satan.
Right.
Owens, if somebody lies about you, what are you going to do? I'm going to keep my eyes on the real enemy. I'm going to keep my eyes on the real enemy. But Owens, somebody's been disloyal. What are you going to do? I'm going to keep my eyes on the real enemy. I'm going to keep my eyes on the real enemy. Hey, has somebody lied to you? Lied about you? Keep your eyes on the real enemy. Keep your eyes on the real enemy. That'll keep bitterness out of your life. That'll keep hatred out of your life. That'll keep revenge out of your life. Hey, that'll help you. Let's just figure out who's the real enemy. We need to rise above the pettiness sometimes of the human race and stop and realize there's a battle going on. It's a spiritual battle. There's the great God of the universe and Satan in the other corner. And they're the ones that are going at it. And Satan just uses us all he can to beat you and I up. But the real enemy is the guy in the red gloves with the red boxing shorts on. He's our enemy. Do you suffer maybe from an illness? Well, let me tell you something. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 12:7. Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul had a couple of health problems, one of which was his eyesight. It was very weak. He did not see well. Secondly, some believe, and historians, the historian Flavius Josephus, I think, mentions that they thought that Paul had seizures, maybe something that would be akin to our modern day epilepsy. Now, what the illness was is not an issue to me. That doesn't matter to me. But Paul calls whatever that illness was, he calls it the messenger of Satan. It is Satan that wants us to be in pain. It is Satan that wants us to be sick. Now, sickness, there are some people that say if you're sick, it's the punishment of God. And I think they're full of prunes. And even if it was the punishment of God, you don't know that it's the punishment of God. Because God didn't send you an express letter that told you that somebody was sick because of their sin. That's not your business to make that judgment. But yeah, sure, there are times when people are sick because of their sin. But I'll tell you this, when we get to heaven, there will be no sickness. And I'll tell you something else, it's not going to be heaven. In heaven, it's going to be Satan. And I think there's some correlation there. I think there's something there. And I'm telling you, it is Satan that is our real enemy. He's the one that wants to make us miserable. He's the one that wants to depress us. He's the one that wants to hurt us. Just keep your eyes on who the real enemy is. Hey, if someone tried to hinder you from serving God, tried to hinder you from being a success for the cause of Christ? Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. In Mark chapter 8, verse 33, it says, "But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, 'Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men.'" Let me say, when he said there, he said, "Thou savest not the things that be of God, but of men." You know what Jesus was saying to him? He was saying to Peter, "Peter, there's something bigger going on here than just you and I." What he meant was, you need to step above the pettiness of your human emotions long enough and stop and realize there's a real big battle going on in life. But what's actually happening here? Here's what was happening. Jesus was telling the disciples that part of God's plan for him is that he would suffer and die. The Bible says that Peter actually rebukes Jesus about that. Peter, he was a pretty rambunctious fella. Peter was not seeing this process from God's perspective. I mean, the Bible was clear. Jesus was going to suffer and then he was going to die. Peter didn't like it. Peter was voicing his loyalty. Peter probably would be trying to stop that from happening. He was just going to step up and say, "Look, I'm going to die for you, Lord. I'll fight for you." And you even find out later, there comes a point when Peter pulls out a sword and hacks off this guy's ear because Peter said, "I'm not going to let you take Jesus." Hacks off this guy's ear, and that Jesus has to pick that ear up and put it back on and say, "Peter, now calm down. I've told you, I've got to suffer and I've got to die." That's when Jesus says to Peter, when Peter rebukes Jesus and Jesus says, "I am going to suffer and die," and Peter rebukes Jesus, Jesus turns around and rebukes Peter, and he says here, "But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, 'Get thee behind me, Satan.'" Why? Jesus knew it was Satan behind anything that would hinder him from trying to get to the cross. Jesus was not saying, "Peter, you are Satan incarnate." He was not saying that. Jesus was saying, "Peter, Satan is the one behind your behavior, and I know it. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me." And Jesus was saying, "Nobody's going to stop me from getting to the cross. And Peter, you have been used as a pawn in the devil's plan of trying to keep me from getting to the cross. And Peter, right now I need to say to you, you stop that. It is Satan that is motivating you to try to keep me from getting to the cross." Is someone hindering your success for the Lord? Satan is the one that's truly behind that. Is someone trying to stop you from serving God? Satan is the one that's behind that. Is someone trying to stop you from doing the will of God for your life? Satan is the one that's behind that. You see, I ask myself often, I remind myself often, who's the real problem here? Who's the real problem? Satan's the real problem. He's the one that makes messes of things. He's the one that takes the sweet and makes it sour. He's the one. And I say to you, number one, Satan is your real enemy. I say to you, number two, if a person has become your enemy, Satan is behind it. He's behind that disloyalty. He's behind those lies. He's behind even some of that illness and pain. Has someone tried to hinder your success for God? He is the one that tries to slow down the success for the Christian. Let me say number three. This may be the reason why God commands us to love our human enemies. Right. You ever wonder why God says love your enemies? God's not telling us to love Satan. When He says love your enemies, He's telling you and I to love our human enemies. That is in the Bible, isn't it? Yes, now, if I were preaching against sodomites, a bunch of you would be saying amen right now. But the Bible says you are to love your enemies, your human enemies. Listen to this. Luke 6:27. "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you." Why? Why in the world, what common sense does it make that we love our enemies? I'll tell you why. God is saying to you, you better stop and realize who the real enemy is. The real enemy is Satan. That's why I'm saying love your human enemy. They're being hurt too. Love your human enemy. Satan is the real problem. In Luke chapter 6, verse number 35, it says, "But love your enemies, and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for this is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Your human enemy is being used by Satan. And God tells you, love your enemy. Why? Because God knows who the real enemy is. And us human beings need to love each other. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." You would be shocked at how many people that would consider themselves good Christians hope that some other Christian fails. I hope they fail. I hope that doesn't turn out right. I hope this person doesn't succeed. I hope they fall flat on their face. That is not Christianity. Not in the slightest. We ought to be cheering one another on to victory in our Christian life, and we ought to want people to succeed in their walk with God. We ought to back people and help them and encourage them. Why? You've got your eyes on the wrong enemy. Those people are not the real enemy. Satan is the real enemy. He's the real enemy. And that's one reason why God says to you and I, don't hate your enemy, love your enemy. Stop and wake up. God is saying the real enemy is Satan. He's behind this. And I'm almost finished, if you'll stay with me through the last point. Jesus, who is your real enemy? Who? He knew. He knew his real enemy. I got to ask you myself this question, Brother Smith. Why is Satan... Why is salvation free? Why do we not have to work for it? We don't have to give money for it. It's free. I'll tell you why. God knows who the real enemy is. It's not us. So Jesus makes salvation free. Lock, stock, and barrel. Come and get it. Why is it so simple? God's not mad at you and me. He knows who the real enemy is. All he wants to know is that you're going to turn to him and trust him. He says salvation's free for the taking. Come and get it. Why? He knows who the real enemy is. He knows who it is that's trying to take you and I to hell. He knows who the enemy is. It's Satan. And he's known that before the creation of mankind. That's why he made salvation so simple. He loves us. Hey, why do we have the security of the believer? Why? Why did God save us and then say, I'll just keep you saved. I'll do that. You say, well, that's simple. Right. Yeah, that is simple. Why? God knows who the real enemy is. You and I are not to be God's enemy. God doesn't look at us and say, oh, those people just hate me. No, I believe that God said, I'll save you and I'll keep you because I've got my sights on old smutty face. I've got my sights on the one that'll burn in hell for all eternity. And that's why hell was created. The Bible teaches that hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for you and my, not for you and me. Why? God knows who the real enemy is. So he saves us and he makes it simple. He keeps us and he makes it simple. Why? God knows the real enemy. Jesus, who's your real enemy? They lied about you. They cheated you. They falsely arrested you. They humiliated you publicly. They crucified you. A man plucked out your beard. A man blindfolded you and hit you with sticks. A man took your garment and stripped you naked so that you were embarrassed in front of people. A man drove nails in your hands and in your feet. A man took a stick with the purpose of intending on breaking your legs with it. A man gave you vinegar to drink when you were parched. And you said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Why did Jesus say that on the cross? He was saying, I know who the real enemy is. And the soldier just nailed me to the cross. He's being used of the devil as a tool. Wake up. Wake up, Christianity. Stop and realize the real enemy is a devil. The real enemy is Satan. He's behind the bad. And thank God there's coming a day when they're going to shackle and bind him. And he'll hurt us no more. But for now, we'll have to contend with him. And I'm just saying to every Christian here, husband and wife, you fuss, you bicker, stop and realize Satan is merely using. He's somehow has deceived. He's hurting your mate. He's hurting them as they hurt you. Satan doesn't love your mate. Satan uses people. Satan deceives people. He hurts people. He hurts the betrayer and the betrayed. He hurts the liar and he hurts the one that is being lied about. He doesn't have any use for mankind other than using and abusing and then disposing after he's tore them to shreds. It was a simple answer. They said, Brother Owens, why don't you get mad at people more? You tell us to love our enemies. What do you do that helps you to work on that thing and make it realistic in your life? Why don't you get bitter with people? How is it that forgiveness, when you talk about it, you make it sound a bit simpler than maybe than what I see it? And I said to him that day, I keep my eyes on who the real enemy is. Simple answer. After they left my office, I thought, you know, that question or those questions are worthy of a further explanation. So I pinned down a few thoughts about who my real enemy is. And the person that is my real enemy is the same enemy of Jesus Christ. And that's who your real enemy is too. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we welcome you to come and be born again. If you're here, if you died, you don't know you'd go to heaven, won't you get saved tonight? That's who your real enemy is. Satan would like to take you to hell. God makes salvation very simple. It's a free gift. If you're not saved, why don't you be saved tonight? Who in this building would say, Brother Owens, God has spoken to my heart. I need to refocus my spiritual eyes on who the real enemy is. And boy, sometimes what we do is we get to looking at people and situations and we forget all about the fact there is a real devil and he is out to hurt us and hurt our relationships and our families. And I'm telling you, folks, if I could just get you to refocus tonight to say, I know what happened here. Satan got into this thing. Satan's involved. Satan's my real enemy. All of a sudden, you'll start forgiving. You'll not seek revenge. You'll realize who the real enemy is. Who here tonight would say, Brother Owens, God has spoken to my heart specifically about something this evening. And you'll raise your hand. There are hands up all over the building already. God has spoken to my heart. You may put those hands down. We're going to have an altar call. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet.